Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I want to thank you for tuning in, and especially those who are new to the show. I hope you find this show is not your typical show. It is an educational show, one that is designed to empower you with the empirical information that you have never been taught from the framing or from our founding documents and from our framers. And so with that, let me get into the sponsorships. I was mentioning earlier that this is going to grow, and it has. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press, as I state in the introduction. It is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. It is also sponsored by 1798part2.org, and I'll explain that in just a second. And it is also sponsored by republicreview.org. So I picked up a couple of new domains so that we can start help getting the word out, and so people can start understanding more specifically some of these details. Even though this is redundant, each of these domains is actually going to start playing a very specific role, because Reclaiming the Republic is more towards this show, the content that comes from the show, podcasts, and so forth. 1798 Part 2, I'll just explain this real quick. If you understand what 1798 was, that is when Jefferson and Madison audited the Constitution and called out for their fellow states to join in auditing the said Constitution. And so what this is this is the second attempt, 1798 Part 2, where hopefully it's not a failed call, so that if we get Wyoming and a couple of other states to stand up, that other states will join. Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, Kansas, so forth and so on, that before you know it, we will have 13 states standing up. And actually, I anticipate that we'll get to 30. And if we have 30 states, that will be more than necessary for literally invoking the changes required in forcing Congress to do their job, because there will literally be that level of force behind the states. And so let me also state, as I always do, you are listening to the only show that asserts the constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. I also want to let you know that my podcasts, like I said, are on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The three main reasons why you want to download these podcasts. And first off, this is the only show, again, that is asserting the constitutional solution. So getting the details is critical. Number two, the content on this show refers to content in previous shows, and keeping today's content in context to tomorrow's show and the previous shows, you'll need to listen to those podcasts. Bear in mind, for the third reason, the content on this show is not really ephemeral or temporary. I don't linger and make the entire show about just news and discussion, water cooler discussion on the news itself. I may bring in some news and a constitutional spin or perspective, but I try not to just necessarily linger on it. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I'll use the news as a marketing ploy, or I should say ploy, but a tactic. How much more corruption do you have to unsurface in the federal government for you to start getting motivated and taking action? So it's a motivational thing and a marketing type of thing. And so those are the three reasons. And again, you can pick up these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I hope within the next year that these things will be actually up on a website where you can get RSS feeds and sign up for them, so you can constantly download them or have them automatically, you know, kind of sent you the links or what have you with RSS feeds, because that's kind of nice. I've fired a lot of IT guys, and it just seems like incompetency, you know, runs in the IT world, at least in my realm. So anyway, I also wanted to mention that I really am trying to get this crowdfunding set up, and I need to focus on the campaign. And so I grovel for support. I grovel for help. I know that if we set up a crowdfunding, it will, hopefully, it will get the money we need to at least do this rodeo in Wyoming. But I'm actually trying to make an appeal elsewhere to try to find out if I can get some funding as well. But if you want to help fund, by all means, just let me know. But more importantly, as I've been saying, I hope to have candidates soon starting to commit to the Constitution and saying, you know what, I want to do this. I'm willing to do this so that we can help get contributions to those candidates that want to lead in saving the Republic, the Constitution, and standing up against federal tyranny. And so with that, I will not grovel anymore. Let's call that my daily grovel. And as I always do before we went on air, I actually looked at the news, and there's some interesting news points that we'll bring up. And if you want to talk about it, by all means, call. More importantly, if you want to talk about the constitutional question and you want a couple of signed books, my first and second book signed and sent to you at no charge, call, and we can talk about that constitutional question. Anyway, there is no sign in the news or out my window where the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that it's up to us. They're not going to do it. Wishing won't make it so. Praying won't do it. And I don't think religion and philosophy won't do it. Now, I do believe in miracles, but I don't believe the Lord is going to just step in on our behalf, not at this point in time. If he does, it'll be because of a lot worse things are going on. And so I truly believe that we still have time to prove that we can save this Constitution that he endowed us with. And so anyway, that's why we need to do it. And don't expect the federal government at any point. And as I've talked, and I had this interview with Ward Connerly, my local show, it was last fall, and we talked about how he was dissatisfied with Governor Bush in Florida, just basically not enforcing and not getting rid of, or not letting the legislators get rid of the affirmative action policies that they have. He just basically stopped enforcing them. And he says that that's nice, but the problem is the next governor or the next governor or the next governor can resurrect those. You have to clean them up, and you have to force the legislators to do their job in getting rid of bad laws or bad roles, responsibilities, and powers. That's why we have to force the federal government in doing this. Even if Trump does it, it doesn't do it permanently. He doesn't have the authority to do it permanently. Only the states have the authority to permanently disband and decommission and dismiss all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. That's why 1798 is so critical, because that's exactly what Madison and Jefferson were trying to do. And so I do have my standing question. And if you were wondering what that question was, what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land reservations for any race or culture? Now, typically, the best spot to find the enumerated power of land, land possession, and land management given to the federal government will be in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. But I could be wrong. I'm sure there may be an amendment that gives them that, because surely they must have that authority because they're doing it. Anyway, let's talk about a little bit of news. And as I look today with all the different directions and curveballs and everything else, I go back to that metaphor of the train wreck. You know, there's this huge New York train center, you know, the train station downtown. And there's all of these tracks coming into that train station. They come in from all different directions. And the problem is that there are trains bearing down at high speeds and they don't have brakes and they can't stop them. And so what we're going to witness and what we are witnessing is the, and I just use the term carnage and mayhem that is occurring as these things start to pour in and as information becomes more and more available. You're going to be side-straddled and sidetracked and distracted and whatever other word you want to use. They are going to obfuscate what's really important and what's really going on. And so you will, I doubt that you will ever hear any news regarding the audit or Republic Review, except from here and maybe a few other conservative radio hosts, maybe Doug Gibbs and a few others, but most of them won't. And why is it? Because there's no money in it for them, and or a lot of them don't want you to know about it because they don't want to give it credibility. They don't want people to start getting informed, talking about it, and all of a sudden people recognizing the inalienable power that these states have. But as I can tell with that burst of music in my ear, it's time for a hard break. And so we've got to go to at least the one who is paying. I would love more sponsorships, but I'm too busy. So anyway, let's go to our sponsor and our promos, and we'll be right back after this hard break. Thank you very much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so the phone lines are open. I didn't get a chance to mention that. As I just said, 215-867-8255. And so we're talking about this train wreck and this carnage and mayhem and so forth. And so all of these little things that you see is just a car in a train. So there's literally thousands of cars coming in on these trains, and there's something going on in each of these. And that is why it is just an overwhelming attention getter. Oh, look at all these things in the news. People become addicted. I mean, they literally can't turn it off. And so that's one of the reasons why I really don't watch the news when people talk. You see this? Are you watching this? No, I don't. I'm too busy trying to fight. It is the same thing, and I will liken this again to productivity. If you're at work and you have to get some things done because your boss or your employer is paying you to do work, right? I mean, it's just not a social venture. You're actually on contract to do something. And so it is real easy to get caught up, believe me, because I've been caught up there. And I know that a lot of times I have to force myself to not get distracted and focus on my job. So when I hear somebody talking about something religious over the cube wall or down the hall or somebody at the copier or the water cooler or what have you talking about sports or... those are all distractions, and it's the same thing with the news. The news is just it is your distraction box. Now, I can understand, because we use the television to kind of decompress. So we watch, classic TV shows that, really help you get your mind off of things. Like everybody loves Raymond or Seinfeld or something like that. Something that is just kind of void of the news, and so we just watch something simple so that, our mind is cleared, because while I'm writing or when I'm working, my mind can really get geared up and it's just hard to shut down. So it's always good to, use something to kind of take your attention off of those things that you're doing so you can shut down and go to bed. But as far as the news, I cannot find anything of value in the news itself. I mean, I can find better forms of getting information from the internet than I can from the permanently on all the time, whether it be Fox or definitely the mainstream media. But even Fox, I appreciate some of the perspectives like Tucker Carlson. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't watch it and I'm bad with names. I've told you all of these things up front. Anyway, so one of the things that I noticed in the news is that the U.S. is withdrawing from the U.N. and I guess the Humanitarian Committee. And as far as I'm concerned, that is only a gesture. We need to withdraw our involvement, period, from the U.N. It has a competitive interest in taking away and subjugating America and American citizens. Therefore, there is no point in us being a part of the UN. And as a matter of fact, there is a better argument to allow states who want to become a real partaker of liberty, freedom, and individual sovereignty, it is far better that Estonia and all of these states in the world that want to protect their citizens from liberty, you know, with individual liberty and sovereignty and from tyranny, then they should be applying to become a United States state. That's what they should be doing, instead of being a part of the UN that has an agenda of global government. As a matter of fact, in the 90s, they actually had the Global Governance Commission. So there's nothing good that's happening there, and that's why it needs to be removed from U.S. soil. So at least that's my two cents. Communism will win. Remember that? That cadet that had that in his hat? Well, he was given his NJP, and or I should say he went through his office hours or court-martial. So he's probably a court-martial because he was an officer. And he is being discharged other than honorable discharge, and he will not partake of any leadership opportunities. But here's the irony, and this really upsets people. And now, if you're a veteran, I know I'm going to upset you, because I'm a veteran too, and it doesn't upset me because I look at it pragmatically. And the truth is that the perfect form of communism is the U.S. military, because it is voluntary. And you have a stint in, you got your 6 years, you got your 4 years, whatever your initial term is, and you want to talk about this, by all means call. But it is a perfect form of communism, because everybody has to willingly partake in this. But as soon as you become a partaker, and you, as soon as you, you know, raise your arm to the square and you take your oath and you become a member of the Marine Corps, Army, Navy, Air Force, Space Force, and or Coast Guard, then as far as I see this whole process, you have no choice. You, when I was in the Marine Corps, I had to have permission to get married. I had to have permission to be able to go off base. We had to, you know, get chits to, you know, make sure that if we're going to have liberty so they can inspect us, make sure we've got our, you know, hair cut and those types of things. And you think, wow, I mean, that's how it can be again. There's nothing that keeps that, those types of regulations from coming back. But I think they've learned that treating people with a little bit more dignity and respect. But bottom line, you are held to whatever the good of the Corps, whatever the good of the country is, you're going to go over here because that's where we need you. Now, in communism, you just go to jail if you violate, you know, the will of the state. Now, I think the military has become way too soft and way too lenient on individuals. I mean, there are, you know, humanitarian purposes for, you know, giving people breaks or what have you. There are, I think, compassionate processes for those who need those. But I will tell you that the military leadership regulations cave way too easily, or they're not rigid enough as they used to be for maintaining decorum and professionalism and those types of things. So that being said, I think it's a paradox that the guy that says communism will win, who was wanted to be a part of the communist, the voluntary communist society within America, is being discharged because of his principles and so forth. And so I kind of understand you don't want a you don't want this outlier in your ranks because he has subversive views. I completely get it. But I think it's ironic anyway, and I figured I would just share that with you because not a lot of people, you know, appreciate my perspective that the military is the perfect form of communism because you are surrendering full control to the state. In the old days, you know, I remember, like I said, I had to get permission. If they wanted you to get married and have a family, they'd issue you one. That's what they said. Anyway, that's what life used to be. And technically, that's how life could become again in the military. But I don't see that happening. But anyway, I also want to talk about a federal judge ruling yesterday that Kansas cannot require documentary proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote. And he was basically stating that finding such laws violate the constitutional right to vote in a ruling with national implications. And so I'm just trying to understand. So any foreign citizen should be able to apply for absentee ballots, and that states cannot deny that person, whether they're in China, whether they're in wherever, or is there all of a sudden something special because that person happens to be standing in a state? You can tell that this judge is doing everything he can to undermine the Constitution and our republic. And so I don't know how he's been seated there, but there's another good cause for getting that judge out, because he has, as far as I'm concerned, done what I think, what is it? Is it bad behavior that you can impeach a judge? And when you're undermining the Constitution and our constitutional processes, that to me is direct bad behavior. So anyway, I'm at another hard break, and I have a little bit more, and we do have a lot more of the Pennsylvania ratification debate. So as soon as we get back, we'll be diving in. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, Don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so we need to move in. There is this key group of House Republicans who are warming up to a proposal aimed at bringing down Obamacare premiums and raising the chances of legislative action. And so I find it interesting that now they want to do this, of course, because everybody's going to see these new bills coming in and they realize, especially in the House, that they have to get reelected this year. And so if they're not going to do something, and this is called pandering, this is buying votes by basically spending money unconstitutionally on people so that they can maintain their federal teat and assistance and subsistence and so forth, when it's all unconstitutional. The states need to be doing this if the states want to provide their own health care, or they need to unleash this back to the private services and open this up into true competition. There are ways of doing this. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be writing a book that talks about how to take back welfare or the compassionate services, which means healthcare, welfare, food assistance, education. Those are compassionate services that need to be administered at each state, and they need to be administered in a way that they're not for profit. And there's a way of doing that. Anyway, apparently there's also this CIA officer who has been suspected of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks, has basically been arrested. And so anyway, I find it all interesting. And these are all the different cars, again, that are coming into the train station that are causing mayhem as you watch this. Oh, yeah, I remember this. And as you start keeping tabs and kind of processing and correlating all this information to make sense of all of it, it doesn't make sense. Because bottom line, we're believing in a house of cards. Everything that is being done to us by the federal government, almost everything, is unconstitutional. They shouldn't be the ones doing it. They shouldn't be robbing us and basically, you know, supporting this globalist agenda in moving us towards a global governance. We have to stop it. That's why at the beginning of every show I say, it's up to us. We have to do this. And so there you go. Now, let me jump into these ratification debates. And so as I try to do, let me just reassert that if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk with almost certainty that we will lose these battles. That I constantly will tell you that the only defense that we have and the only weapon we have that can destroy our enemies and protect us is the Constitution. So, what else are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to start using that Constitution in fighting for our republic and fighting for our liberties and getting federal tyranny out of our lives. Anywho, let me move into these ratification debates. And as I do, I also want to pose this question. Are the words in our founding documents that I am citing the words of deceit? Are these framers, liars, and deceivers who wrote these words? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system and the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers and politicians and bureaucrats the words of deceit? And to me, there is only one answer to that, and I can't find any reason or any way that supports that the framers were liars. But I will leave that to you to judge. And so I am still kind of basking in these limitations regarding Mr. Wilson speaking to the Pennsylvania ratification debates, and he goes off to say, "It is urged as a general objection to this system that the powers of Congress are unlimited and undefined, and that they will be the judges in all cases of what is necessary and proper for them to do.
To bring this subject to your view, I need to do no more than point to the words in the Constitution beginning in the 8th section, Article 1. The Congress, it says, shall have power, and I need not read over the words, but I leave it to every gentleman to say whether the powers are as accurately and minutely defined as can be well done on the same subject in the same language. The old Constitution is strongly marked on this subject, and even the concluding clause, that which so much fault has been found, gives no more or other powers, nor does it in any degree, that's the necessary and proper clause. Remember, it was the broad sweeping clause in Virginia and so forth. Anyway, nor does it in any degree go beyond the particular enumeration, for when it is said that Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper, those words are limited and denned by the following, for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. He does a really good job in explaining this, but so did Nicholas, and so did Madison and other gentlemen in the Carolina, North Carolina, and Massachusetts. And so here we go. And he says, it says no more than the powers we have already particularly given shall be effectually carried into execution. So I this actually echoes the sentiments. And so let me go on a little rant here, because this is why the ratification debates are so critical. These guys were harmonious as they were telling the states precisely the same thing in Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, and even in North Carolina, the few states that actually debated this. And again, when it is defined in the negotiations of a contract, whether it be by one party or all parties, it is applied to all parties. Therefore, everything that was being said in this Pennsylvania ratification debate, when Mr. Wilson, James Wilson, who was a delegate at the Constitutional Convention, as an author and as a witness of that convention, bore testimony that this is exactly what this means, then that's precisely what it legally means. Even though the Constitution has ambiguity, the ratification debates create legal binding definitions. And that is why the federal court system has done everything it can to obfuscate and to basically keep it out of your view. That is why Marshall lied directly, because again, as I pointed out, John Marshall was a delegate at the Virginia ratification debates. And what he said in his rulings flies in the face and directly conflicts with the witness testimony and even his own testimony in the ratification debates, which are legally binding to the Constitution. In addition, his opinions in a ruling, even though his ruling was sound, his opinion is just his flatulence or hoisting his own petard, because bottom line, he was only making himself feel good, and there was nowhere in the Constitution that the judge's opinions can make anything constitutional or create a constitutional grounding. The only way that that can be done is when the states delegate those authorities to the federal government via an Article 5 process known as an amendment. The judges do not have amending powers, but this whole concept of constitutional law, when you hear people call themselves a constitutional attorney, I am telling you they're just puffing themselves up, because there's no such thing as a constitutional attorney, in my opinion. It's either in the Constitution or not in the Constitution. And if you don't know, go to the ratification debates. And that's why I'm probably considered a pretty dangerous guy, because there's not a lot of people that like, you know, some of these things that I'm telling you, because they don't look good, and the courts don't look good, and our politicians don't look good, and that's okay. I've got 10 fingers, and while I have them, I will use them to poke these people in the eye. not because they deserve it, but because you need to know what the truth is. And the truth is that we have a hard, fast contract that the Constitution only delegated very specific and defined and minute powers, as these gentlemen have been telling us. Therefore, the only way we are going to get back to those confined powers is that the state stand up and force it with the audit or republic review. Period. There is no other way. An Article 5 convention will not do this. Therefore, my friends, I'm at a hard break, and as you can tell by the music, I've got one more segment coming up, and we'll have even more ratification debates. So I'm hopefully motivating you, and I know I am because our show is growing. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I apologize for that last rant, but actually that came from the heart. And I hope you know that that is why I am giving you, these aren't just little, you know, a couple words here. As a matter of fact, what's really important is that there is a pile of evidence, my friends. There is a huge pile of evidence that as these framers, as those who conducted the Constitutional Convention, went back to their states and actually told their states how limited the federal government was and how hard fast the contract was and how the states held sovereignty and power. They kept on bringing this up. I'm telling you that this isn't just an aberration. This isn't just one little outlier. This isn't one little instance. It is almost like if you read the scriptures, if there was like one little passage that a person needed to do this, then, you know, there would be probably lots of dissension over that. But when you have lots of passages that reinforce the same thing, you know, a fasting or some kind of doctrine within the scriptures, then there is no doubt that is a hard, fast, sound doctrine that has never been revoked. And that is the same thing here. We have doctrine that has been established that the federal government is limited and defined to the enumerated powers within the Constitution and ratified amendments. And that is it. Unless, and so people, I've been in arguments with doctors and, you know, really well-educated men and women about the Constitution. And this one gentleman was telling me that when an amendment is passed, it basically supersedes everything within the Constitution. I go, well, show me where it says that. Show me in the Constitution where it says that. It only means that the changes within that amendment, if it actually makes a change, and the case in point in the instance we were arguing or discussing was over the 17th Amendment. And I said, clearly, it's not saying that you know, the Article 4 clause, let me focus on that. The 17th Amendment makes no mention of anything other than how the electors are to be selected for the Senate. In other words, it's no longer being appointed by the state legislators, that the senators will be directly elected. It does not change the guarantee clause of Article 4, Section 4, where the United States guarantees that every state be Republican in form, that it now guarantees that every state in the Republic be Democratic in form. And does it, sir? And of course, he goes, well, of course not. And I go, well, then, so what is your point? It only makes the changes to those particular parts. And the reason why we were arguing over the 17th Amendment in this particular case was because I pointed to him in Article 5, that very last clause that says no state shall lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without its consent. And therefore, if it has rejected the 17th Amendment, then it does not have to apply because it feels it's losing its suffrage. The state suffrage then goes to the people, because you got to understand, the whole point of the 17th Amendment and the whole point of the Congress was to create suffrage for two separate constituents. The House was the constituents of the people, so that the people maintained their representation by apportionment, and that the Senate had its suffrage in the Senate. Or I should say, the states had its suffrage in this by the Senate. And so when I started arguing with this gentleman, or actually this came into we were discussing and it became an argument, I said, there is nothing you can give me in any founding document that supports what you're saying. And as a matter of fact, if you read Madison and Sherman's arguing and debating over the Bill of Rights and the amendment process and where they go, the only reason they're at the end, which Sherman was the one that was the champion for, and I believe he was wrong. I believe Madison was right that they should have forced the changes to actually be invoked within the language so that the Constitution would then stand instead of, you know, because that's how you find out, oh, shoot, you got a mess here. Look at this. It changes this, but it doesn't change that. Well, you better fix that. And had they known what they were doing with the 17th Amendment, they probably would have modified the Article 5. But they didn't know. They didn't understand that that was there. And to me, that's the advantage to the states. More importantly, I believe and I still assert that those states who have accepted or ratified the 17th Amendment at any point in time now, because in 2012, the government allowed a state that rejected the 17th Amendment to ratify it. Any state that has accepted it can unratify, or what is the term? There's a this very specific term, rescind its ratification. And so I would challenge anybody in Texas, Oklahoma, and any of those states that actually ratified the 17th Amendment to rescind the ratification. I would like to see several states go down that path, because when the government allows you to change your mind, that changing of the mind has to go both ways. It doesn't just go, oh, well, you can only change your mind in advantage for us and for the deep state. And so that's how, and that's one way the states could literally create a huge ruckus over this issue. And so I digress, but let me get into this next comment by Wilson. This is the last one under limitations. Sir, I think there is another subject with regard to this Constitution deserves approbation or your approval. I mean the accuracy of with which the line is drawn between the powers of the general government and those of the particular states. We have learned some general observations on this subject from the gentlemen who conducted the opposition. They have asserted that these powers are unlimited and undefined. These words are easily pronounced as limited and defined. They have already been answered by my honorable colleague, Mr. McKean. Therefore, I shall not enter into the explanation, but it is not pretended that that line is drawn with mathematical precision. The inaccuracy of language must, to a certain degree, prevent the accomplishment of such a desire. Whoever views the matter in true light will see that the powers are as minutely enumerated. When he says the powers of the government are as minutely enumerated and defined as was possible, and will also discover that the general clause against which so many make exception is taken is nothing more than what was necessary to render effectual and particular powers that are granted. And so this goes back to the necessary and proper clause as that sweeping clause. And again, there is just so much evidence here that there is a hard line limitation on what the federal government can do. And that is it, that the states are supreme and have sovereignty over all things not delegated. So what does that mean, my friends? What that means is that healthcare is supreme in the states only because it is not delegated to the federal government. The federal government and the court system and Congress, they cannot grant themselves. That is called usurpation of powers. They cannot grant themselves these powers. They have to go to the states via the Article 5 process and say, can you delegate us this? Because we think we can do a whopping good deed here and make everybody happy and take care of everybody. We want to create a centralized government, a nanny state where we can redistribute wealth for everybody. And that's exactly what they're doing. But even if the states allow them to do that, as Madison said in 1817, it is still unconstitutional in its entire existence until the states wake up and say, why did we ever let you do this, and take that back? Therefore, my friends, it is pretty simple. Republic review is the process. Auditing the Constitution is the necessary exercise of power by the states for us to move forward in taking back all those roles, responsibilities, and powers that have been usurped by the federal government. I don't have hardly any more time. I've just got 10 seconds. We're going to be saying goodbye to those on the Telestial Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you're learning something. I hope this is giving you some motivation, and I hope this marketing is working so that you can actually start pressing your state legislators to audit the Constitution. If you need help, reach out to me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Thank you so much, and I will be back to tell those who are still with us what we're doing tomorrow. And so tomorrow, I'm actually hitting the enumerated powers comments out of the Pennsylvania ratification debates. The Virginia ratification debates truly were gold nuggets, but I will tell you that you will find gold in the Pennsylvania debates as well. They did a very good job out the gate in explaining. And as a matter of fact, it's not like there was a lot of time and collusion and saying, okay, this is the gut answers, because these men, they didn't, this was not a pulling the wool over one's eyes. This was literally, I believe, a true, honest explanation of what these guys were talking about, because if you read Madison's notes on the convention, they harmonize with what they talked about during the convention. So with that, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and with your help, we'll get this done. Thank you so much.